My impression is that the way Kol Yom Rishon works is the first slot is generally for a younger person to speak, and the first slot we discuss Parshas HaShavua, and then in the second slot we have the senior Rosh Hashiva who gives a talk about on a halachic topic. I am not a senior Rosh Hashiva, far from it, and I am officially giving a talk on Parshas HaShavua, which is Parshas B'Shalach. But in order to be yotzei the fact that some people come for the second slot and they like hearing halachic topics, so we'll discuss a halachic issue that comes up in this coming week's parasha, which is the discussion of Lechem Mishnah. Okay, one of the central themes of Parshas B'Shalach, besides Kriyas Yamsuf, is the man. Okay, the Torah says that man used to fall down every day, people would go out. On Shabbos, man wouldn't fall. Right? The people went out to gather man, would bring it in, and they would find that the man was all wormy. And there are many halachos which are derived from man. And there's a halach of tchumen that comes out, that's derived from man. Another halacha that's derived from man, the Gemara in Brachos says, is Birchas Hamazon. Right? The first bracha, Birchas Hamazon, was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu when the man fell. And there's a halacha that's derived from man called covering the challah on Shabbos. Right? The man would have the tal on top of it, and there would be a little cover underneath. So that's why we cover the challah on Shabbos. And of course, something else that's derived from man is Lechem Mishnah. Right? On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, when we eat challah, we have two challahs in front of us. And this comes from the pasuk, it's in source number one. Vayihi vayom hashishi laktu lechem mishneh. On the sixth day, on Friday, they gathered double bread. Shnei ha-omer la-echad. Two omer for each person. An omer is a specific measurement. It equals 43 1/5 beitzim. That's what it equals. So they would gather two omers, and everyone came and they spoke to Moshe. On Friday, they gathered lechem mishneh. They gathered double the amount of bread, because the bread would not fall, the man would not fall on Shabbos. So they gathered double on Friday. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, which is source number two, it's on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin on the base. So the Gemara begins, it's on the second line in the source. We have Amar Rabbi Abba, B'Shabbos Chayev Adam Lefzoah Shtei Kikros. On Shabbos, you have to be Botzeya on two loaves. Dechsev Lechem Mishneh. The Pasuk says Lechem Mishneh, double bread. Amar Rav Ashi Chazina Leila Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana would pick up two loaves. Ubatzachada, but he'd only break one. Omar loktu ksiv. He says that the pasuk says loktu lachem mishneh. They gather it. Right? Our act of picking up two breads symbolically represents gathering the man. So therefore, they would pick up two, but they would only eat one. They'd only break one. Rabbi Zeira have a butza akula sheirusei. Rabbi Zeira would break kula sheirusei. And this is a complicated line to explain. Rashi understands, if you just look at Rashi, in source 3, butza akula sheirusei, Rashi learns perusa gedola. He would take a big piece. He'd cut a large chunk of bread. He wanted to cut a big piece of bread, a piece that would be sufficient for the entire meal. So the Gemara continues, it looks like you're a glutton, like you're stuffing yourself. Why are you cutting such a big chunk of bread? Since I don't do this every day, right? People know me. They know that all week I don't eat all that much. They see only on Shabbos do I cut such a big chunk of bread. So that shows that I'm not such a glutton. I don't know exactly. I assume that everyone had eaten with him during the week also, or else that explanation doesn't make sense. Now, what does this word botseya mean? Right? On Shabbos, you have to be botseya two kikros. You have to break two breads. That would be the simple explanation. But Rashi understands, Rashi says that you say birchas hamotzi. According to Rashi, the din of lechem mishnah is not that you break two breads. The din of lechem mishnah is that you make hamotzi on two different loaves of bread. Right? That's what Rashi writes clearly. It's the third Rashi that we have. Levtzoa, Rashi says, is birkas hamotzi. And the Rashba, source number 4, disagrees with Rashi. Rabbi Zera batzak kula sherusei, so the Rashba writes, Pirish Rashi, chaticha gedola sheyesh badai l'kula sherusei. He would cut a big piece when Rabbi Zera, in the continuation of the Gemara, Rabbi Zera did not pick up two breads and only eat one. Rabbi Zera was batzak kula sherusei. Rashi learns he would cut a piece that was big enough for the entire meal. And he says that Rashi writes this in Brachos. Also, ve'eino mechubar ve'einayda eino inyon shemu aseinu. The Rashi says this has nothing to do with our Gemara. Again, according to Rashi, you have to be botseya tu lechem, which means you make a bracha on two pieces of bread. That's the first statement in the Gemara. That's Rabbi Abba. You make a bracha on two loaves. Then the Gemara says, according to Rav Kahana, you pick up two and you make a bracha on one. And we agree with that, Rashi learns. But the continuation, the last stage of the Gemara, Rabbi Zera, he would cut a piece that was big enough for the entire meal. So what's going on here, according to Rashi, there's no machlokes. There's no disagreement at all. You have the statement that you only eat one loaf. Right? Lechem mishnah means you make a bracha on two, but you eat one. Lok tu ksiv. What does it mean? Botzak kula sherusei. That means that you cut the slices a big chunk of bread. But the Rashba says, this has nothing to do with our Gemara. Cutting a big chunk of bread, right? It might be a good idea to have enough food for everyone to eat, but what does that have to do with lechem mishnah? Moreover, the Rashba adds, Adarabba, koshu marba b'chatifa hava ayin yafe. The larger the piece, the better. Right? The Baal HaBayis is supposed to be botseya, the Gemara says, because he's supposed to give bread for everyone. And the larger the piece, that shows that the Baal HaBayis is more generous, and people will be happier. V'heche karalai hacha, Rav Sinusa. So how can you say that the guy's hungry? Yeah.
I have 10 people at my table. I have a big challah. I make a bunch of lechem orech. I cut up a slice, give them one person, slice another person. That's not.
So according to Rashi, you're not supposed to do that. According to Rashi, the initial slice should be a slice that has a big piece chopped off from it.
I'm figuring that with all my guests, we're going to have to have a piece of bread.
Okay, so the subsequent slices will be smaller. First, I cut off a big chunk, and then I break it down into smaller bits. But the Rashba disagrees with Rashi. The Rashba writes, Ela Nirali, right? Two lines before the end of the Rashba, Nirali debatsa al kol hakikros ka'amar. What the Gemara means is that you would break all of the breads. Umishum de kamina nakatarki, batsa pada, kamar hakarabze, debatsa kula kikros de manka kame, behind the ka'amar de mechsi krabsunisa. In other words, the Rashba understands that there's a machlokas in the Gemara. There's a dispute. The first opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Abba, is that you only break one bread. However, Rabbi Zeira was batzak kula sherusei. Rabbi Zeira would break both breads. Rabbi Zeira would cut through both loaves of challah. So there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Rashba whether you are supposed to cut one challah or two challahs. That's what emerges. Right? According to Rashi, the second half of the Gemara, the fact that you are supposed to cut kula sherusei, That's just this thing based on derech eretz. It's nice to cut off a big chunk of bread in order to give all of your guests. But the din of lechem mishnah is that you eat one bread. And according to the Rashba, the din of lechem mishnah is that you eat both breads. Okay? According to Rashi, the din of lechem mishnah is that you make a bracha on both breads. Right? That's what he says. Levtzoa means birchas hamotzi. But ultimately, you only eat one. Now, there's a few difficulties here. Right? First of all, according to Rashi, the term botseya changes its meaning. Botseya has a few different meanings. In biblical Hebrew, botseya means ma betza ki naharu gesochinu. Right? What value, what gain. I don't think that has any meaning here. Botseya in Mishnayic Hebrew means a small hole in the ground. Right? The Mishnayis and Mikvaos talk about shnei bitzin, two little holes in the ground, and that can count as a mikvah. We're getting closer. Right? Botseya could mean that you make a small hole. Botseya also in Aramaic is the same letters exchange. Botza is the same as boza, which is an Aramaic word that means to crack. To make a cut or a crack. So now already we understand that botseya means to crack. That fits in beautifully with the Rashba. That when we say botza, kula sheruse, he would crack everything that was in front of him. Rashi is hard. Botseya as an expression of making a bracha, I don't know where that comes from. I think it has something to do with the Hebrew explanation of value, that you add value to the bread, like mabetza, you add value by making a bracha on it, but I'm not sure. And also, what's more difficult within Rashi is that the word botseya changes its meaning within the Gemara. First he says it means you make a bracha, then at the end of the Gemara, nakatar to you, batzachada, you pick up two and you, there it definitely means crack or break. So the word botseya changes its meaning according to Rashi. Now, Shulchan Aruch, source number 5, Paskins like Rashi. Botseya shtei kikos shleimos, that you make the bracha on two whole loaves. She'ochi shtein b'yado botseya hatachtona, you hold both of them in your hand, lock two, you hold them both in your hand, and you cut the bottom one. And the Rama adds, Davka b'leile Shabbos, only Friday night, avul b'yom Shabbos, or b'leile yontiv, botseya al ha'oyona. Friday night you cut the bottom challah, Shabbos day, or yontiv night, you cut the top challah, v'hatam hu al derech ha'kabbalah. I can't explain this to you, it's based on the heebie-jeebie world. The Rama was this unique blend of philosophy and Kabbalah. So the Rama says, Kabbalah tells you, Friday night you cut the bottom challah, Yontiv night and Shabbos day, you cut the top challah. But you only cut one challah. Kabbalah. I don't know.
But why the bottom challah?
Why the bottom challah? What? The Beis Yosef apparently didn't have this Kabbalah source. This is a Kabbalah source. What?
Why the bottom?
But Alpi Kabbalah, the reason is bottom, not top. It's a Sefer HaRokeach. It gets into
Hebrew. Oh, the Beis Yosef doesn't mention it.
The Beis Yosef does not mention it.
So why does he say the bottom?
But why does he... Again, apparently, I don't know. According to Beis Yosef, you always cut the bottom challah, it sounds like. I don't know. Now. The Achronim are all bothered by Akasha. Before we go on, the position of the Rashba doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, but the Magen Avraham quotes that the Shlah, right, and the Maharshal both assume that you cut both challahs, and the Vilna Gaon also assumes that you cut both challahs all the time. Okay, Friday night, Shabbos day, Shalosh Shuddis, you always cut both challahs. Now, the Achronim ask a kasha. The Bach asks, cut the bottom challah Friday night, according to the Ramah, according to Beis Yosef, always, isn't there a problem of Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs? Right? The Gemara in Erevin and elsewhere has a principle that the mitzvah that comes to me first is the one I should do first. Cutting the bottom challah means I'm passing over a mitzvah. So how am I allowed to do that?
You don't put a roll of sand.
So there are different explanations given in Afrayim. The Magen Avraham suggests that what you do is you do like a sikelas yadav. First you have the challah's top, bottom. You make the bracha, then you reverse it. So it's not in Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs because the one they made the bracha on was on top when they made the bracha. That's what the Magen Avraham reference says. It's funny.
You could put it closer to the one on the bottom.
The Taz says that the one on the bottom should be closer to you.
Yeah.
So there's no problem with Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, I don't understand the whole question. The mitzvah is to cut the bottom challah. So there's no problem with Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs. I'm doing the thing that's right. But according to the Rashba, we have no question of Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs. Because according to the Rashba, I cut through both challahs. So there's absolutely nothing.
Which one you cut first?
No one expects people to be magicians. That we can't do. But the fact is, there can't be a problem with Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs according to the Rashba. That's one issue that emerges. Another issue that emerges, Machlokas Rashi and Rashba. This is Zohar. The Zohar says on Shabbos you're supposed to have 12 challahs. By Chassidish Rebbe's at the Tish, you have a whole big plate of challahs, a platter in front of the Rebbe. And there are 12 challahs, 2 big challahs and 10 small challahs all around. And that's based on the Zohar in Parshas Pinchas. I'm too young to learn these things. But the Zohar says that you're supposed to have 12 challahs on Shabbos. Now, usually we would say it's a machlokas, Gemara and Zohar, and we pass it like the Zohar. But there's a tradition from the Vilna Gaon that there's no such thing as a machlokas between Halacha and Kabbalah. And you have to try to reconcile them. So the Vilna Gaon says, that's why you have to pass him like the Rashba. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He says you have to cut both challahs. Why? Because if I cut through both challahs, so then at each meal, I end up with 4 challah chunks. Right? After I cut them, right? I have 2 at the beginning, I cut through both, then I have 4. So then over the 3 meals of Shabbos, I end up with 12 chunks of challah. So that's the way you fulfill the Zohar of having 12 different challahs. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Good. Second issue. The third issue that comes up. There is a comment of the Eish Al Avram of Buchach. The Eish Al Avram of Buchach is, there are 2 Eish Al Avrams. One is the Prima Gadim, which is printed in the back of Shulchan Aruch. And then also in the back of Shulchan Aruch, there is the Buchach Rav. Buchach is actually right near the hometown where my family is from. It's a community in Romania. So the Eish Avram of Buchach has a comment. He says that he saw some people that they make the bracha of Hamotzi. The Baal HaBayis will wash his hands first, let's say, which, according to the Rush, is not the preferable way of doing it. The Rush says that the Baal HaBayis should wash his hands last to be as close to cutting the bread. But these people wanted to have both. So the Baal HaBayis is in a big rush. He'd wash his hands first, sit down, make the bracha of Hamotzi, and the rest of the family hadn't washed their hands yet, hadn't sat on the Tiyos Yadayim. They're walking back from the kitchen to the table, and the Baal HaBayis is already making Hamotzi. So is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? What's the story? So the Eish Al Avram of Buchach says that even though you cannot be yotzi birchas hanenin with shomei ha'kaona, when I make a bracha on an apple, right? So the din is that each person is supposed to make the bracha himself. Birchas hanenin, the bracha we make on food, if I have a whole group, unless there's kvios, unless we're all sitting down, I shouldn't be motzi somebody with the bracha. However, the Eish Al Avram writes that when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, you can be motzi people with Shomei HaKa'ona. You can, you're allowed to. In other words,
in the morning also.
What?
Do that in the morning as well.
On the wine,
he makes a bracha, I think everybody else makes.
Right. So that works because there is kvilus. By yayin, because we're all sitting down, we're all gathered around the table, we're together, so that's enough that I can be motzi with birchas hanenen. But if there's no kvius, if we're all running, if you have some people in the kitchen and some people at the dining room table, there's no kvius. A regular birchas hanenen, I can't be motzi you with shomei ha'ona. But lecha mishnah, you can. Why is that? So the Eish Avraham has an expression that sounds like, because the whole mitzvah of lecha mishnah is to make a bracha on two challahs, and you hear the bracha on two challahs, so therefore you fulfill the mitzvah. It's not a birchas hanenen, it's just a formal din. You need a bracha on two challahs.
If it's remain,
so do you need to answer? So the regular din shomei ka'ona, you wouldn't have to answer on main. Answering on main is a preference. Those are the details within shomei ka'ona. But the Eish Avraham's point only makes sense according to Rashi. According to the Rashba, the whole din of Lecha Mishnah is that you're supposed to eat both challahs. So if I make the bracha, I hear the bracha, but I can't eat now because I didn't wash my hands yet. I'm somewhere else. I'm not kavua. According to the Rashba, you're probably not going to be yotzei if the Baal Bais is making the bracha before everyone is sitting down and ready. But according to Rashi, you may be. That is the third point that comes up. There's a fourth point that we can bring. What type of bread do you need for Lecha Mishnah? What type of bread combines for Lecha Mishnah? Right? You're supposed to have two challahs. So do they both have to be challahs that you should eat? For example, some years Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Right? These years are this year, right? It's a disaster. Right? It's very difficult. You don't want to have chametz already, but you need to have challah around for Shabbos. If you want to have like matzah ashira, you want to eat the Suda Shabbos with egg matzah, so there's a whole question whether you're allowed to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach or not. And if you do eat egg matzah, how much do you have to eat for the meal? It's very complicated. So you try to have a few challahs around, but you don't want to have too much challah because it's hummus. So somebody had the idea, maybe I should have three challahs, and I'll take a matzah out of my... I have my matzahs already because I have the Seder. What's a Shabbos? I'll take a matzah out of the box, and I'll make lecha mishnah, one challah and one matzah. Now, the matzah, I can't eat, because the Yerushalmi writes that the ochel matzah of Erev Pesach is ki'ilu bo'el arusaso. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Right? All the jokes included. So you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So, are you allowed to combine matzah with challah to be yotzei the din of Lecha Mishnah? So, presumably, this should be totally in the Machlokas, Rashi and the Rashba. And the funny thing that comes out is when you look at the tshuva svarim who deal with this issue, right, there's a tshuva of the Bitzel HaChachma. He was the rabbi in Melbourne, Australia. He was nifter a few years ago. So, the Bitzel HaChachma, his tshuva is, and it's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Perek, Nun Hei, Ha'ara Lamed, Tes. He points out that, you know, you really shouldn't be mitzdarif the matzah to the challah. But if you look inside the tshuva, he says the reason is based on the Rashba. That you're supposed to eat both. But I don't understand. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't follow the Rashba. Right? In Shulchan Aruch, we really follow Rashi. Yeah, fine. So if you're one of these grunics, right, or you're a person who follows the Magen Avraham according to the Shlo, so then maybe you shouldn't use matzah. But according to our practice, I don't know why you shouldn't use matzah. Similar questions come up, right? To use a challah that you can't really eat, to take something right out of the freezer, right? It's too cold. It's not edible yet. It has to thaw. Can I just take something out of the freezer and use that for lecha mishnah? So, again, I would say this depends on the Machlokas Rashi and the Rashi. According to Rashi, you need to make a bracha on two challahs. So I have two challahs here. I can make a bracha on them. According to the Rashba, I'm supposed to eat both of them. I can't eat this challah until it's really four. The same tshuva say for the Betzel HaChachma Reis, that he thinks there's a difference between the case of matzah and the case of the frozen challah. He says, by the matzah, you can't eat it all day. The frozen challah will defrost later. And maybe by the end of the meal, you'll be able to eat this challah. By the end of the meal, it will defrost already. He has a raya to this idea, that you're allowed to use for lechem mishnah anything that will be defrosted by the end of the meal. Anything that, even though right now I can't eat it, by the end of the meal I will be able to eat it. He writes that, you know, Pesach, we're supposed to eat at the Seder only matzah shmura. Now, shmura matzah is a big machlokas rishonim, what that means. That word matzah, that is shamur. So the simplest explanation is shamur means you make sure there's no chametz. Right? We accept that, however, as the bare minimum for matzah, but we assume that shmur matzah means more than just not chametz. Shmur matzah means that you go to the matzah baker and you see all the Russian women saying, L'shem matzah mitzvah. Right? Shmur matzah means that you are eating matzah that was made specially for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Now there's a discussion in the Bir Halacha, what happens if I have only three matzahs that are shomer l'shem matzah mitzvah? What should I do in that case? Right, matzah is very expensive, you only have three matzahs l'shem matzah mitzvah. What can you do then?
That's all you need.
Can you use a matzah that is not chametz? Can you use that for the lechem mishnah at the Seder? So he says, absolutely you can. No problem. Now the problem is, Leah HaSeder, I'm not going to eat this night. I know what I'm eating Seder night. I'm only going to eat the shmur matzah. So how could I combine it? How could I use this matzah? I'm not going to eat it right now. I'm going to make the bracha al achilas matzah. I'm going to eat the shmur matzah. How could I have lechem mishnah with something that I won't eat? So he writes, well, you might not be able to eat the regular matzah now, but by the end of the meal, you'll eat the regular matzah. But right now, when I'll make the bracha al achilas matzah, I'll eat the shmur matzah. But in the middle of the meal, I could nibble on non-shmur matzah. So therefore, since I could eat it during this meal, even if I won't eat it now, I'm allowed to combine it for lechem mishnah. So that's his approach also by a frozen challah. Right now, I might not be able to eat it, but since by the middle of the meal, I'd be able to eat it, so it combines for lechem mishnah. Yeah?
Yeah, but the other case is they have a shem matzah, they have a shem challah. I just can't eat it for technical reason because it's Erev Pesach. What if it were truma? I'm also keen on it for a technical reason, but it's got the shame.
So that's another discussion in Poskim. Let's say I have matzah that's not kosher. It's truma, and I'm not a kohen. Or I have matzah that is from chadash. And right, it's not kosher. So the Poskim distinguish between why is something not kosher. There's a case in Shulchan Aruch, if I don't eat pas akum, I don't eat goyish bread. So in Shulchan Aruch we say that you're allowed to be mitzvah for lechem mishnah. Something, however, that no one could eat, by pasakum, I don't eat, other people do eat. It's a chumrah. Something that no one could eat, so the machtis hashekel writes in Shulchan Aruch that I'm not allowed to use for lechem mishnah. And the argument over there apparently is that if I can't eat it, that means it's not food at all. And if it's not food at all, so then, of course, it doesn't work. Now, if we take this back to our case, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, our case of the frozen challah, if a challah is really frozen, maybe that's also not food at all. It's like a stone. Who says that's considered food? One could debate this point. I'm not convinced. But his argument is that frozen challah does not have the status of food. The basic point that we're getting at is that a lot of these shilas that the poskim address, in terms of what type of bread combines for lechem mishnah, these shaylos relate to the machlokas Rashi and the Rashba. According to the Rashba, you have to eat both, but according to Rashi, all you have to do is make the bracha on both of them. Presumably, something that does not get a hamotzi, even if it's pas, could not combine for lechem mishnah according to everybody. Because according to Rashi, the din is that you're supposed to make a hamotzi on two challahs. So one challah and one cracker. Right, on mizonos. Mizonos.
Unless you can be kovei sudan.
So if I'm kovei sudan, then it becomes a hamotzi. But let's say I have one cracker, and okay, so presumably that would not work for lechem mishnah at all. Or there's another case that comes up. Shabbos morning, in many shuls they have, probably most shuls, they have a kiddush. Okay, so for the kiddush, what you do is you make kiddush and you eat some mizonos to be yotzei the mitzvah of kiddush b'makom su'udah. You have some mizonos, and you assume that counts as a su'udah, even though I'm not making a hamotzi on the crackers, but that counts as a su'udah. Now, the kids of Shulchan Aruch writes, right, this is one of the problems. If you teach kids of Shulchan Aruch to little kids, sometimes you end up with these very weird things. The kids of Shulchan Aruch writes that you're supposed to pick up two crackers when you make kiddush based on lechem mishnah. Now, I think this is not true according to Rashi for sure, because Rashi says that the din of lechem mishnah is that you make a hamotzi. If I'm making the mizonos on these crackers, what type of lechem mishnah is there? And even according to the Rashba, I can't imagine. The din is you're supposed to eat both challahs, and the challah is supposed to be bread, right? We learn birchas hamazon from the mum also. It has to be the type of bread that you bench on. If I'm not going to bench, I'll make an alam mithya. I can't imagine that you really need two of them for lechem mishnah.
So one
is basically. Yeah, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's explanation is probably based on the pilpul within mun, in terms of what exactly was the mun made out of. The mun may not kitamo kitzapichas bidvash is a mechilta that was really passable to kisnim. That's probably what it's based on, but it's very difficult.
So why is the cracker?
Why is
for
lechem mishnah? Because I think for lechem mishnah, you, according to Rashi, for sure, you need something that you're making a hamotzi on. If I'm not going, if I eat one cracker, I don't make a hamotzi on it. It's not. Right? Rashi says the din of lechem mishnah is that I make a... Right? Even according to Rashi, I don't think... I think according to Rashi, it's pretty clear that you will not make... You could not use a cracker for lechem mishnah.
Your earlier comment about using a challah shooter, so on Shabbos morning, first we eat very early. If we have Shabbos, it's followed by Pesach, we eat very early in the morning. So we get rid of our bread by 9 o'clock, flush it out, so we don't have to. Based on that, would you advocate that we take a roll at a kosher for Pesach matzah? Let's say keep the matzah well covered with a plastic cover,
yeah.
We'll get a cook stick and use these two, and is that all right?
I think so. I think we pass them in Shulchan Aruch like Rashi. Right? If we're going to hold like Rashi, and according to Rashi, that should be fine.
But even according to Rashi, one could argue it has to be something roi la'akila, meaning why are we making on two loaves of bread? It's true, his ikar is that you're making a bracha on two loaves, not eating two loaves, but presumably the bracha is something which could be eaten now.
And so I would argue that may ikar hadin, you could eat the matzah even now. In other words, there's a whole discussion in the poskim about at what point is the isser of eating matzah seven on Erev Pesach. When we're eating those meals early in the morning, there's machlokes Ramban and Bal Hamor and Sofim, but at that point, may ikar hadin, you could eat the matzah. We have a minhag not to. Correct, but the shayla, even within the Rambam, is at what point does the isser set in? Is it possible to have an isser, a din of matzah without an isser chometz? Right, this is one of Rav Soloveitchik's favorite topics of shiurim, Pesach time. Okay, let's just do two more issues very quickly. Is the din of lechem mishnah
caused
of the
morning?
That's
wrong.
That's
right.
Right. So what, right now I have 11 o'clock. Okay. We'll do one quick thing and then we'll leave it like this. According to Rashi, the din of lechem mishnah is that you make a bracha on two breads. If I make a bracha on two breads, so the whole din is derabbanan. The entire concept that we have of Birkas Hanenin is a concept which is only Mizrabanim. There's no chi of min haTorah to make a bracha on anything. So according to Rashi, Lecha Mishnah means that there's a mitzvah derabanan to make a bracha on two breads. But according to Rashba, it's possible that the din of Lecha Mishnah is a din de Oraisa. And this is a big discussion in Achronim. Is Lecha Mishnah a din de Oraisa or a din de Rabbanan? One interesting source over here is there's a tshuva of Rabbi Nutam, who discusses whether women are chayiv in Lecha Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Nutam gives two different reasons. The first reason Rabbi Nutam gives is the famous reason. Women are chayiv in Lecha Mishnah, Rabbi Nutam says, because Achim Hayyub also Hanes. They were also included in the Nes of Man. But Rabbi Nutam has a different reason. He says, women are chayiv in Lecha Mishnah because it's Dirabonim.
Because what?
Because it's Dirabonon. The whole obligation of Lecha Mishnah is Dirabonon, and therefore women are chayiv in it. Now, what does this Rabbi Nutam mean? So I think what Rabbi Nutam means is as follows. If something is only a chiyuv Dirabonon, that means why do I listen to it? I listen to it based on the din of Lo Sosra. I have to listen to the rabbis. The obligation to listen to the rabbis is not a mitzvah saseh, that's my grandma. There's a general obligation to listen to rabbis. But Rabbi Nutam is telling you that there's no such thing as a mitzvah saseh as man grama, which is derabbanan. It can't exist at all. Because if something is derabbanan, that means it's a general kiyum of listening to the rabbis, and there's no such thing as time-bound mitzvahs, which are derabbanan. Okay, yashikala.